Amen. Thank you so much, choir, for that, leading us in that. I also want to thank Miss Terry and Miss Sissy for the work they do with our cherub choir, and for Blanton for sharing with us this morning on the piano, singing that song, and for our men's ensemble. A couple of those guys look good in the choir robes that aren't normally there, right? We could use to see them wearing that more, looking at you, Bill and Paul. So we have had an incredibly good morning together so far, amen. A great time of hearing from our children and all else that we've had going on, the baby dedication. And so it's such a delight and a joy to be a part of a church family with so much going on, so much to be thankful for, and so much to be joyful over. Now, I do want to go ahead and answer the burning question in everyone's mind. Yes, I know what time it is. So, all right, so we've had a busy morning. I know what time it is. Take your copy of God's Word over with me to Isaiah chapter 65. As Bruce and I were planning our Advent services and Christmas services, he gave me a heads up. This one was going to be a full one. So we prepared accordingly as we think about joy in Isaiah 65. We're now in our third week of Advent, and we've talked so far about hope. The hope that we have in the light of Christ, that when he came, he brought us hope and shines light into our darkness, and we have hope looking forward to his second coming again. And then last week we talked about peace, about how the peace that God offers and the peace that he will bring about in his restoration is not just for us. It's not peace only for humanity, but it's peace for all of creation, that God is restoring all things to himself, that he is making all things new in creation, not just us. And today, as we've heard from different ways, in song and in reading and in other ways, our focus today is joy. And much like last week, I suggested that our scope is too small when we think about Advent. If you recall, that's how I started, by saying oftentimes when we think about hope and peace and joy and love, we think too narrowly in our scope. We often just think about ourselves, or we often just think about our family, or we often just think about our church family, or even, as I just mentioned, we often just think about humanity and not all of creation. We can think too narrowly in our scope when we think about Advent and when we think about the effect that Jesus had in his first coming and the effect he has as we look forward to a second coming. Today, I want to suggest that not only is our scope too narrow, but our chronology is too short as we think about Advent. Not only do we think too small, but we think too short of a time. We think about today, right? Lord, give me joy today. We think about this season. Lord, let us have a joyful Christmas season. And maybe that's as far ahead as we think. Maybe we even think farther than that. Maybe we do think about our whole lives. Lord, I just want a peace-filled life. I just want a hope-filled life until you call me home. I just want joy, and I want to have a life marked by joy. But today I want to suggest that that is far too small of a time frame to be thinking about. The benefits that Jesus offered do not end when this life ends for us. The benefits that Jesus offered does not end when this earth passes away. Because make sure that there is a day coming that this heaven and this earth that we currently know will be no more. The scriptures are clear about that. In Isaiah 65, today, as we think about joy, what we're going to see is about this new creation that is coming, this new heaven that is coming, this new earth that is coming. And what we hope to see is that joy, along with these other benefits we think of in Advent, but specifically today, this joy is eternal. Our sermon title this morning is Eternal Joy. I want us to see, not only do we need to think in a broader scope about hope, peace, and joy, specifically joy, but we need to think in a longer time frame. So follow along with me in Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25, and I have two truths for us this morning, just two brief truths that I want us to see. Isaiah 65, starting in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear child in calamity, but they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, says the Lord. Two truths for us this morning as we think about eternal joy. Number one is this: there's a day coming where joy will be the only option. There's a day coming where joy will be the only option for all humanity. Look here. Behold, God says, He's creating a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things, so we're currently living, although we live at times as if this world is eternal, we live at times as if the holding place of God's people, heaven as we call it right now, this the heaven that those who have passed on before us are in, enjoying God's presence, will be forever. But the truth is, these things will pass away. But the promise we have of God is that there is a new one coming. But not only a new one, a better one. A fully restored one. As God brings peace to all of His creation, like we saw last week, what we recognize is in that new creation where all things are restored to their original intent, as God redeems and restores and reconciles all things back to Himself on earth and above the earth and under the earth, as all of those things are brought back together, we have to recognize that in that place, joy will be the only option. So much so that the former things, we won't even be remembered. I don't think that means we won't have conscious knowledge of those things, right, of our lives here on earth, or that we won't know people in the new heavens and new earth that we know here. What I think that means is it'll be so joyful that our minds won't even go back and think about the bad times. It won't even be an option, because we'll be so full of joy and so much rejoicing in our Father that we won't even want to cast for a second our mind back to the trials that this world brings with it. This is a great promise for us, people of God, because this earth offers us joy at times, but it also offers us sorrow at times. It offers us peace and happiness at times, but it also offers us pain and death and suffering at times. We have options here, and we hope to daily choose joy. We hope daily to walk in that, but in our imperfected state, in our sinful flesh, we oftentimes choose the opposite of what God would have us to choose. But make sure, be certain that there is a day coming that we won't even have that option, because joy is all that we will have as God rejoices and has joy in His creation and in His people. And look at what this will be like. We'll be glad and rejoice forever. There'll be no more weeping, no more cries of distress, no more infants who only live days or hours, no more old men passing away, not fulfilling their days. Here again, we get the same picture later in this verse, the same picture we got last week when talking about peace and God reconciling all things to Himself. We see the wolf and the lamb grazing together. No animosity, no predator and prey. Pure joy in the presence of God and His new creation forever. So we have this day, this certain day, that we as God's people can look forward to and know that day is coming. And that can help carry us through these days that we face now. We can have a certain hope that no matter how bad it goes here or how unfortunate it gets in your life here, that there is a day coming to look forward to, that that won't be the case. But that leads us to our second truth. Because the fear is, what some people can do is go, well, I guess I'll just suffer through this life, but at least I got that one to look forward to. We go through this life sorrowful. We go through this life without joy, without peace, without hope, going, I know that's coming, and I'm looking forward to that, and when Jesus comes, that's going to happen, but today I'm just going to have my head down and drag my feet and just do the best I can. But that is not how God calls us to live, which leads to my second point. Not only is there a day coming where joy will be the only option, number two, eternal joy starts now. Because you know you have that promise coming in the future, you can start to live in that now. You see, often we talk about, and we use the same language sometimes, talking about eternal life. Like, oh, I'm looking forward to eternal life, or that I know that eternal life is this thing to come. But when we're born again, eternal life starts at that moment. When you are born again, that is when your eternal life begins. God brings our spirit from death to life. He fills us with His Holy Spirit, and we begin to live our eternal life in that moment. And in the same way, when we are born again, the Spirit comes in us, and we begin to exude the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is joy. And so we can't cop out for not being joyful in this life by saying, well, that's a promise for the life to come. We can't just look at these promises and go, well, someday I will be joyful when the new heavens and the new earth come. Someday I will be joyful. Brothers and sisters, joy in the life of the believer starts today. The joy in the life of the believer starts the moment that they repent of our sins, we put our faith in Jesus, and His Spirit lives in us and through us. And yes, there's a day coming that we will experience it more fully. There's a day coming where there won't be another option. But it starts today. And there are at least two reasons I think we should do that. One is, I can't remember the exact wording, but I heard someone essentially say, here on earth we're practicing for heaven. Right? As we worship, as we live in the fruit of the Spirit, we know that's an eternal reality, so we go ahead and start practicing now. A coach might say to an athlete, you practice like you play, right? If you goof off at practice, you're going to be goofing off in the game. It's not going to work. We don't goof off in this life. We live in the fruit of the Spirit, and the life that God has called us to live is empowered by His Spirit, living in joy. But the second reason I think this is important that we recognize that joy starts today is because this is a great evangelism tool for a world around us, for a lost and dying world around us. And I want to suggest to you that there's no, we should always be evangelizing, right? That is a command for all believers, all times. But I want to suggest to you there's no easier time to evangelize than Christmas and Easter, right? Those two give us kind of normal rhythms and patterns in life that it becomes easier. And one of those reasons, just like Julianne was saying to our children, Christmas time, while it's meant to be a joyful time, is often a time of great stress. Running from this party to that party, figuring out how we're going to make ends meet while still giving our children and grandchildren gifts that we know they want and we really desire to give them. Battling the traffic and the jammed stores and the long lines and the waiting and all of these things. This season that's supposed to be filled with joy is often filled with sorrow and pain and a lack of contentment. And if we as God's people begin to live in our eternal joy now, then we get to offer something to the world that no one else can offer them. And that's a glimpse of what it looks like to be walking and walking with and following Jesus. And when we do that, we get a great evangelistic opportunity, because it will look so foreign to the world as you live this way, when the rest of the world is living that way, it will look so foreign to the world that someone is going to start to wonder, what in the world is different about you? How can you have a smile on your face in this Walmart line that goes down past the clothing section, right? How can you not say a word maybe you shouldn't say as someone cuts you off in traffic, or you don't get that last ham that's there and you and the other person were racing for it and they beat you there by a millisecond and you want to throw hands but you don't, right? How is that? We get to say to people, there is a joy that comes into your life when Jesus is your Lord. When you're walking with Him, you get to walk and live in such joy that begins now. But not only are we offering people, hey, you know you can have a happy life. You know that you can be happy and joyful in these times that nobody else is. This goes back to that first point. Not only are we offering people an eternal joy for this life, but then we point to them and say, not only is it for this life, but it's the life to come. We show them in Isaiah 65 how there's a day coming with no more sorrow or sadness or crying or pain or death. We offer that joy to people around us. So I want to ask you this morning, are you walking in eternal joy? My guess would be that if I had asked, are you looking forward to eternal joy, we all would have said yes, right? Who isn't? Yes, I'm looking forward to that day where all of these things are made right and all of these things are good and joyful and there's no problems. Of course, we're all looking forward to that, and that is a truth. But let's not miss this second truth, that it starts today. So the question isn't, are you looking forward to it, but are you walking in it today? Because Jesus is the only way to walk in it today. And He's the only hope for that joy to come. I know there may be some here today who've never trusted Jesus. Maybe you are walking through this season that's meant to be joyful and you find yourself hollow. You find yourself lacking the joy that's talked about here in the Scriptures. You find yourself lacking the joy that when you look around at others around you, they have it, but you seem to be missing something. If that's you, I want to encourage you today to look to Jesus. He's promised us that when we look to Him, that when we repent of our sins, when we turn away from ourselves, when we turn away from the things that we want to do, we turn away from our flesh, when we deny ourselves, and then we put our faith in Him, He promises to give us His Spirit, who will give us joy in this life and the next to come. In just a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing a song of response, and I want to encourage you to think about that. Are you walking in joy? And if not, the question is, why not? Is it that you're not walking with Jesus closely enough that you are showing that fruit of the Spirit? Or is it that you've never trusted Him? If that's you, I'd love to talk with you during this invitation. I would love to share with you about how you can find eternal joy in Jesus. Maybe you want to talk about baptism. Maybe you've followed after Him, but you've never followed Him in believer's baptism. I'd love to talk with you about that. Or maybe you want to know more about church membership. Or maybe you just need somebody to pray for you. I'd be happy to pray for you and with you. But I would encourage you, as the Spirit of God leads you to respond, as He leads you in your heart today, I would encourage you to follow His leading and not suppress that in your life. Let's stand together as we pray. Lord, we are thankful for the joy that Jesus brought us when He came into this world. We know that as He came down, He came with Him that. So, Father, let us not just have joy as a thing we're looking forward to in the new heavens and the new earth, but a thing that we are seeking to walk in daily. And Lord, as we do that, let us be evangelistic to those around us. Let us help them see that they too can find eternal joy in Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.